Good morning, beautiful people. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to Weston United Methodist Church. My name is Will, and I serve with our pastoral team, and we're so grateful that you are here with us today. We'd love for you to log your attendance with us by filling out the pew pad or by registering your attendance online. I want to let you know of some ways that you can get involved in the life of our church. This afternoon at 5 p.m., we will be hosting a Tazay service of healing prayer here in the sanctuary, and you can worship with us here in the sanctuary or by following the links at the worship page online. Today is also a day where we are celebrating the life of our partnerships with Wesley Campus Ministries across Nashville. Our communion offering across the month of September is going to our local Wesley chapters, and today we have representatives from three universities, Fisk University, Belmont, and Vanderbilt, who are here in Reed Hall. And what a beautiful way to connect our giving to stories of transformation. So I invite you after worship to go in and meet those representatives and to learn more about how your giving is supporting Wesley Campus Ministries. If you are a university student in one of our local universities, we would love for you to experience life at West End through what we call Chat and Chew. After the 11 o'clock service, you'll meet Pastor Amy in the narthex, and it will be a time of fun and fellowship over the lunch table. I invite you to come and be with us in that way. Also, I want to remind us as a church that this is the last weekend where you can register for our all-church retreat in a couple of weeks. We have a couple of rooms open, so if you are on the fence, this is my gentle nudge to say, get off the fence and just commit and come and be with us. Most of our pastoral team will be away in 2 weeks on the plateau celebrating the end of our retreat. So we're grateful for some of our retired ministers being present here with you, those of you who will be in Nashville. I also want to lift up that next week we'll be worshiping in a little bit of a different way. We'll have our same rhythm, our full fourfold pattern of worship here in the sanctuary, but the whole of our liturgy will be led by children. Next week, we're celebrating a children's Sabbath, and we look forward to the ways our children will lead us in the worship of God with creativity and delight. Finally, I want to remind us that as a community, God is leading us into a more accessible way of worshiping. And so we often have the presence of service dogs who are working while they are in the sanctuary. Though they are very cute and cuddly, just want to remind us that these dogs are working, and so we don't want to call them by name or try and pet them. Today, we continue our sermon series through the book of James, as James guides us in living a practical faith. As we come to worship God, might we prepare our hearts to worship in spirit and in truth.
Thank you. Would you please join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin? This is the day that the Lord has made. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trusting that God's love is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Most merciful God, you have given us the roadmap to love and communion, yet too often our words become weapons that degrade, disparage, and dismiss. Forgive us for our poor stewardship of words and the distance we create between ourselves, each other, and you. By your Spirit, guide us and those we encounter toward your unending love. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and peace, of peace and love. Peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's lesson is from the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. If you'd like to read along, it's on page 981 in your pew Bible. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged by greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey them, may us, we guide their whole bodies. Or at least that's the theory. For those of you who know my riding experience. Anyway, or look at ships. Though they are so large it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Up with me for a children's moment. Come on up. Nice. Hey, Annie. Good to see you. Hey, Emily. Hey, good morning. CJ. Nice. I love seeing how many of you are here in worship with us today. It brings my heart great delight. Y'all, today we are going to talk about one of the most powerful tools that you have. It's the tool of your words. Your words are so powerful, and your words have the power to invite a friend, to include someone who might not be included, to make your teacher feel seen and loved and cared for. Your words are so powerful, and it does not matter how little you are. Your words can make a huge impact in somebody's life. So I want to talk about some words that maybe you can use this week in school or at your house that are really powerful. Who's ever heard the words, thank you? Thank you. I wonder who you can say thank you to today. What about the words, play with me? Has anybody ever used those words? I wonder who you can use those words this week and say, hey, play with me. What about the words, I love you? I wonder who God is calling you this week in your family to say, I love you. And maybe to do a combination of all of those words. Thank you for being my friend. Play with me. I love you. God has gifted us with this incredible power to speak blessing and kindness in the world. And I can't wait to hear the transformation that God is going to work in and through you this week. As next week, when we gather together, it's going to be you all speaking the words of the liturgy that lead our whole church in worship. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, what a gift it is that you have given us words to speak. I pray that through the mouths of these children, you would pour forth blessing, that their words, God, would transform the lives of teachers, family members, and friends. All of us, we ask through the one who is always speaking blessing over us. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite 3, 4, 5, and 5-year-olds and kindergartners, if you want to go with Pastor Shannon to Children's Church. And y'all have so much fun. CJ, it was good to sit by you. Emily, it's good to be with you. And for all of the rest of us, we get to spend some time with Brother James. Light and easy, Brother James. So would you pray with me? Gracious God, might you loose my lips to preach good news with your people. Would you open our lives to receive the word of hope you are gifting us with today, that in all these things we might speak with and for and through Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I'm a big believer that it's the untold stories of history that often lead us in how we are called to live today. And in this case, in this story, it was not your ordinary Tuesday. No, it was the night before the biggest speech of his young life. In the morning, John Lewis would represent the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and the suffering of black people as he spoke before the nation at the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, that famous march that yielded Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. The speech that John Lewis planned to give was violent in tone. He blasted President Kennedy and the Congress and Attorney General Bobby Kennedy for their lack of resolve and urgency. He even evoked images of General Sherman's March to the Sea, the Civil War campaign in 1864 when Sherman's army went from Atlanta to Savannah, destroying every home and farm and railroad in a campaign of total war. So it would be with the movement destroying Jim Crow in the South. John Lewis's tone, it was a clear shift. It was more accusatory, more angry, more aggressive. In the morning, John Lewis planned to use his words to burn some bridges. It was an older brother in the movement, A. Philip Randolph, who offered the first word of challenge, friendship, and correction. He said, "John, we've come this far together. Let's stay together." It was the mentor who discipled and called him into the movement, Martin Luther King Jr., who offered the word of transformative invitation. He said, "John, this just does not sound like you." This story, so powerfully remembered in John Meacham's His Truth is Marching On, reveals how at an inflection point in a person's life on the vast stage of human history, it was two friends offering words of call and correction that transformed a situation, a person, and a movement that led John Lewis to continue stewarding his words for change through the vocabulary of nonviolent resistance. There's great power in our words, and James wants to make it clear that there's great power in our words and their ability to transform. Last week, we established that James really reads like a report card for the early church. And in this Christian community, it's clear that this community is struggling in the subject of language arts, we could say. Also, as a reminder, the context of this letter, it's written to the church in diaspora, which means the church that's scattered. The church is in a moment right now, early in its history, where it is struggling with its vulnerable tininess amidst the vastness, the dominating vastness of the Roman Empire. And so in their efforts to try to find a way to make a way, they're losing the way of Jesus Christ. They're losing their identity. And so James uses three images to reveal how small things can enact massive transformations: a bit in the mouth of a horse that steers a horse, a rudder that can turn a ship and guide a ship during a storm, a small spark that can start a forest fire, which in the Common English Bible translation goes on to say, a fire that can consume the circle of life. Our words have the power to transform. James wants to make that clear to us today, and you've likely experienced this too. Our words have the power to end a conversation, to bring about hurt in a relationship that can go on for generations, to consume a community in gossip and lies and false truths that can lead people even toward death. Our words have the power to transform, the gift of comedy that can turn despair into laughter, right? A word of forgiveness and release that can undo generations of grudges. A word of honest lament and confession that can move a community toward hope. Our words have the power to transform. The research is not fully in agreement in regard to how many words we use today. But the best guess is that for people who are active citizens in the United States, we use 16,000 words on a daily basis. And a lot of those are filler words or repeat words. And for those of us who are English speakers, the most common words we use, these are the three. You can probably guess them. The, an article, to, and be. The, to, and be. And as I've learned that, I realized that that is why my English teachers sought to so ruthlessly eliminate the passive voice in my writing. No, to, be. thee to and be, the most common words that we use. And yet, as I have prayed and processed through this letter of James, I actually don't think he cares much about our general use of words. I actually would go so far as to say, I don't think James is really losing sleep over the accidental bad word you say sometime. What's really at stake here becomes clear in verses 9 and 10, as we heard Ed read, when James says that with our tongue, we both bless the Lord and curse human beings made in God's likeness. With our tongue, we both bless the Lord and curse human beings made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing coming from the same mouth? It shouldn't be this way, James says. It shouldn't be this way. James wants us to see something as small as our daily use of words within the much more vast story of the God who speaks. Remember how God creates in Genesis? God speaks creation and says, let there be light. And the word that God says over creation every day is good. And when God forms us in God's image, God says over humanity, supremely good. And when we get caught up in this cycle of blaming and shaming and using our words to accuse one another, God calls Abram and Sarah and says, you're going to go to the nations and you're going to speak blessing. And as God's people forgot their way and their vocation to speak blessing, God called up prophets like Nathan and Isaiah and Esther, who would speak words of truth to power to turn us back into the way of Jesus, the way of God. And in the fullness of time, we can celebrate that God's word became human flesh and moved into the neighborhood, that Jesus learned how to speak just like a baby and knew the native tongue of his people, Aramaic. And we celebrate every time we come to the table that Jesus preached good news to the poor, declared freedom for the captive, announced God's kingdom, that the time had come when God would save God's people. And we look at that saving moment on the cross when Jesus received the worst words we could possibly speak to another human being, the most dehumanizing insults we could offer, and his response was to speak blessing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And how 3 days later, after his glorious resurrection, when Jesus was in the upper room with the disciples who abandoned him in his greatest time of need, what were the first words he spoke to them? Peace. Peace be with you. Across all of Scripture, there's this pattern again and again that though we speak in many tongues, the first language of God's people is blessing. Words of comfort, words of call, words of affirmation, words of encouragement, words of lament, words of honest recognition of harm, words of confession, words of forgiveness, words of release, words of hard truth shared with gentle grace, words of truth spoken to power, words of blessing. Maybe you can remember a time in your life where someone spoke a word of blessing over you. Maybe someone saw in you a gift that you knew was there, but you were afraid to recognize. And so they called it out and they called you into your calling. Maybe it is that someone who was in a place of religious authority spoke a word of your eternal belovedness in God's sight, and that word sunk so deeply in your heart that it began the healing process from years of religious trauma of a teacher speaking a different word of curse. Maybe it is that a good friend or family member looked into your life and saw you had an unhealthy pattern, and so they spoke a hard truth. But it was a hard truth that led you to change, to ask for help, to have the intervention that you needed, to be transformed, to move towards sobriety. Maybe it was even like a hard word that a doctor or a medical provider gave that finally offered clarity after years of chaos of not knowing what was going on with your body. And that word gave you clarity to know how to live with intention and maybe even die well. A word of blessing is an invitation to life. Any word that leads us into a deeper peace and joy and well-being. And as God's people, we recognize that we were created from words of loving blessing for the sake of sharing words of loving blessing with others. And friends, the first person to whom we are called to speak loving blessing is ourselves. I'll never forget a car ride with a person who always seemed to have the right words. You know somebody like that? They just always have the right thing to say. You're like, can I have that spiritual gift, please? This person was a very confident executive leader, extremely successful. And I got in his car and he picked me up. We were going to lunch and all on his dashboard were sticky notes, post-it notes. And the post-it notes said things like this: you are not what you produce. You are not your latest failure. You are God's delight. You are always loved. Over the course of our lunch, I learned that this person was in a season of life where it felt like they were constantly in a cycle of cursing. They said that every time they opened their email inbox, it felt like going into the hurt locker. That they were living in a pattern of negative self-talk where they felt like they were constantly disappointing everyone. And so they were always telling themselves, you're a disappointment as a husband, as a father, as a disciple, as a friend. And so that dashboard had become this person's preacher, interrupting the cycle of shame and blame and curse with a word of blessing. Maybe your dashboard or your bathroom mirror or your kitchen sink can become a preacher too. What would it look like to flood your spaces with the promises of God, the word of Genesis, where God speaks over us that we're supremely good in God's image? The promises of Isaiah that though you walk through the waters, they will not sweep over you, for God is with you. The hope of Jesus Christ in Romans 8, in Christ there is no condemnation. How do you need to preach to yourself today? And beyond ourselves, as we think about the people in our homes, in our workplaces, in our friend groups, the people with whom we spend those 16,000 words every day, how might you speak a word of encouragement or gratitude or hope to them? To whom is God calling you to write a letter of thanks? Who is God calling you maybe to speak a hard truth with gentle grace to invite them into a better way of living and life? Amidst all of the busyness of today, how can you slow down the pace of life and ask an invitational question to someone like, all right, let's move beyond I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. How are you today? I'm here to listen. Would you just tell me about your life? In our work in the city and in the state and in the nation, how might we be people who break the constant cycle of cursing by speaking blessing? Friends, I don't think I need to remind us that Jesus is the one who sets the standard for how we use our words, not anyone who's running for president or any political office. And so as we engage in the political process this fall, as we have conversations as neighbors, as we process with family members around the Thanksgiving table in November, as we relentlessly seek justice in this city, we would be wise to remember the advice, the wisdom of Martin Luther King Jr. to John Lewis. In all of this work, may we sound like peacemakers. May we sound like Jesus. For truly, God has given us a great power to transform the world. By God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, let us be a people who are well practiced in speaking blessing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Acknowledging the power of words, may we rise in body or spirit and speak these words affirming our faith, and let us speak them in such a way that they become part of who we are this day. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice, resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life and death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them out loud or not. If you'd like to share these prayers with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed. Please take note of their prayer requests listed in the bulletin and keep these names and situations on your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. As a congregation, we extend sympathy to the family of Amy and George, Henry, Hannah, and Haynes Lynch, who are mourning the death of Amy's mother, Evelyn Larson, who passed away on September 8th in Evansville, Indiana. A private burial will take place in October in Kentucky. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who built us with this amazing ability to communicate and be understood, we sing your praises this morning because you are wonderful and worthy to be praised. You created all that is around us, and we are speechless at the beauty of your creation. God, you are so aware of how our mouths can get us into trouble. We are tempted to say things that will hurt others, things that would not honor you. Set a guard over our mouths. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, this fire that you have given us stronger than the tongue. And thank you for the gift of self-control. Let our mouths praise you and bring you glory. Let us speak words of life that build others up. Where there are sick people, let us speak words of healing. Where there are lonely people, let our words be those that provide companionship, love, and laughter. And where there are people who are dying, let our words bring comfort and accompaniment. Where there is injustice, give us the right words to say, the truth in love to bring to those in power. And let our words not be words alone in those instances, but words that inspire us to action, taken this in every day. May we hear and repeat words that bring life, not words that tear down. May we read the scripture, the words spoken by Jesus, and let them be the guide in our hearts for the way we respond with our hands and our feet. God, we speak now the words that Jesus taught us to use when we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite Abby Stevens to share a ministry moment with us about our Faithful Giving campaign, and then Abby will issue the call for the offering.
Good morning, West End. My name is Abby Stevens, and I am honored to represent the Giving Committee this morning as we formally launch our 2025 annual giving campaign. My husband, Mark, and I have been members of West End for about 6 years now. And since joining as newlyweds, we've welcomed and baptized our two children in front of many of you, Wright and Liddy. If we've not yet had the pleasure of meeting, you may recognize us as the family who is either very early, like today, or occasionally slips into the early service sometime after the passing of the peace. There's really no in-between for our family, and I know many of you may relate in that sentiment. In fact, it's actually one of the many reasons we love West End and have chosen to plant our family roots in the life of this church. We found an authenticity in this congregation that has invited us into deeper community and embraced the beautiful, messy, and sometimes late parts of who we are. And we see the many ways our ministry teams are sharing their callings and gifts to actively share the loving light of Christ with our community, specifically with groups of people often overlooked or underserved in big and small ways. This genuineness is what inspires our family to continue participating in the annual giving campaign. My hope and prayer is that you feel something like that too, and will join our family in committing a pledge for 2025. There are a few ways in which you can submit your pledge. In the next couple of weeks, you'll receive a pledge card in the mail, and you can return that to church or visit the website and click Give to submit your commitment. Additionally, there is a QR code printed on the envelope with a blue top in the pew rack. It looks like this. It's here every week. That will also take you to the online giving section. And unless you prefer writing a check, I would highly recommend AutoDraft. As you consider your contribution, I'd like to share some of the ways your gifts will enable our church to flourish. In no particular order, your financial generosity will go towards supporting a new mental health initiative for those needing support and care for mental well-being. TheoEd on February 23rd, which is like a TED Talk in partnership with the Candler School of Theology. Hospitality support to enhance our fellowship gatherings for regular visitors and to add to our retreat offerings. A junior internship program through our Mercy and Justice Ministry that will provide mentoring for students, gifting Bibles to our growing group of children, assisting the cost of our youth group mission trips, and providing meals when they spend time in service together. And finally, in recognition of the increased cost of living in Nashville, we acknowledge our staff face these same issues, and your pledge helps us support and invest in our fabulous staff who care for and breathe life into our lovely congregation. In reading just a few of the ways our gifts will support our church, I am reminded how fortunate we are to be part of a warm, busy, and boisterous congregation. Though we may not all be involved with every initiative, we have the opportunity to collectively foster the love and hope of Christ that our church exudes through our gifts. And no matter the size of your participation, may we all take an active part in continuing the vibrant flourishing of our beloved West End together. Thank you. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. For those of you joining us online, you're invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down the rows. You may also use the QR code printed in the bulletin to give digitally through the website. As we all pass the plates down the row to one another, may we remember that God multiplies our gifts and beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
We were created from words of loving blessing spoken over us to share words of loving blessing with others. May we go forth into the world this day to fill this day with words of comfort, words of encouragement, words of hope, words of truth, words of healing, words of good news. May we go forth into the world this day to speak blessing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.